Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Kenneth Mokgatle is a political writer. He's a columnist, and he happened to have been in Israel during the some part of this war. Kenneth, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and the listeners of Chai FM. I'm fine, and I hope you are doing well also.
I am indeed. So how long, just to give us some background here, how long were you in Israel for?
I arrived in Israel on the 5th of December. So remember, we were scheduled to be here on the 9th of October. So due to the devastation of the attacks by Hamas on the 7th of October, our trip was delayed until December. So also the semester, the calendar year in Israel was synchronized. So a semester constituted about 13 weeks. So 13 weeks constitute a semester. So we are on our break now, and then on the 30th of April, we are hoping to begin with our second semester.
And what are you studying in Israel?
I am studying a Master of Arts in African Studies. So there's a new program which focuses on African problems and offering African solutions. So it's called African Sustainable Communities. So it takes about 18 months. So it's three semester phased. So we are about 17 students from different African countries. And it also includes about 10 students from Israel who are also learning about the problems, the challenges that African countries are facing, and how African countries can come out of those problems.
That's absolutely incredible. Which university is this at?
Yes, this is Ben Gurion University of the Negev in Be'er Sheva.
Incredible. Hold on. So you haven't experienced a summer there yet, have you?
Yes, we do have experience now. So it's a very it's a very multidisciplinary course, because it also deals with the challenges that we are going through in Africa. Remember, in KwaZulu-Natal, almost every December they are facing torrential rains where livelihoods of people and lives of people are disturbed, when many people are losing their homes, their property, due to those torrential rains which are coming as a result of climate change. So people on the ground have not come to understand what is happening and how they can adapt into this new to the climate change.
Right. And how's it been in terms of the war, because it's certainly the whole country is very much changed by the events of October the 7th.
It has been very difficult especially for the Israelis here. So when we came, it was a bit still tense, and people were still confining themselves in their homes. You would not find people in the streets. The only people you would find were the security officials, because people were still afraid to go to the shops. So we were also afraid to come here, but the officials of the university guaranteed us of our safety. But around January, then that's when people started to adapt into the new reality, and they started to have their life back, although the situation is not normal as they knew it before the October 7th. They went back to their lives, they had to keep the country and the economy going. Many people we are still having students who are using online facilities to attend, because they are serving in the IDF. So you can imagine in a lot of sectors, people have left to go and serve their country in the military. So it will affect the economy somehow, because people are not doing what they used to do to improve their economy. So they went to defend their country. So the situation has not really changed. And now we have seen in the media when this tension grew between Israel and Iran just on Sunday in the morning. We were alerted through the home command front, the home front command. It's an app that we use, or everyone in Israel uses, to be alerted of any security threat. So we received the information that there would be some attacks, because the Iranian government have launched more than 300 missiles and drones to Israel. So immediately when the siren went on, we went into the shelters to take a cover. There were no casualties reported. It was only a young girl from the nearby community in Bedouin who was reported to have seriously been injured. But we are hoping that she will be okay, because
was this your first trip to Israel?
This was my second trip, but the difference was that I have already spent more time. I once came here in 2018, right, and then we spent around 7 to 8 weeks with other young South African. Incredible. We came to learn about Israel generally.
Right, and in terms of what you see, you know, we know the South African government and their stance. We know the misinformation that comes out. How do you, when you see this, what's your thought on this?
Yes, I was very surprised, and the question kept triggering me. Why is not only the government, but even the media, which is supposed to be telling what is happening on the ground, the reality, and not making up things that are not even there. So a lot of things that have been reported, or that the South African people are subjected to, are not necessarily true. So the country is very small. I mean, geographically you can compare it to Kruger National Park in Mpumalanga. It's very small, about 9 million population. And I used to think that there were only Jewish people in Israel, but right, when I came here, I found a lot of black people. We just went to Bedouin I think 2 months ago. We visited the area there, so I thought I was going to find only Arabs there, but I found Jewish people living together with Arabs, and then I also found black people. So my question was that, how did you arrive here? So they said, we don't even know where we are coming from in Africa. We can't locate the country because we came here long ago during slavery. Our parents, our ancestors came here, so we've been living here together with the Arabs. So we can't even speak one language from Incredible. Africa. We don't know the country that we are coming from, Africa. So there are many black people in Israel. There are Druze people, there are Arab people, and there are the university where I am. I mean, a lot of people are international students from China, from Russia, from Austria, from many countries around the world, and we are able to coexist. One thing that in our country they push or they advance is that there is apartheid in Israel. Personally, I have not come across any of such behavior, or I don't know anyone who have been treated unfairly. I have not seen anything, any sort of that treatment against any person here. I'm seeing people living together. When you go around, you see the road signs. When you are seeing any any information that is communicated to the public, it would be communicated in Hebrew, and then it will be communicated in Arabic, and then thirdly, it will be communicated to English for speakers like me to understand. So I have not seen anyone deprived or discriminated because of the language they speak or the color of their skin. So it is just misleading to say that Israel is practicing apartheid against other people. And the economy here is thriving. Remember that they don't have mineral resources like we do in South Africa.
Yeah.
So what they are doing is that they, over the years, they have developed their human capital. That is the only resource they have. And they have used this resource to develop their country. So we can safely say that their country is one of the developed country in the world.
Incredible.
Because we are saying that amazing. Due to the GDP per capita, the people have developed.
Absolutely incredible. We do need to leave it there. I need to go to news headlines. Kenneth Mokgatle is a political writer. He's a columnist talking about his experience in Israel during the war, studying, and his impressions of the country. It's 8:32.